Welcome, everyone, to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 30. Carousel, we've turned the age in which carousel Okay, the Logan's Run joke I made from last week is actually still here. Hi, I'm Joe Steinkamp, and with me is my good pal, my friend, my buddy, JJ. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Another joke I don't get.
Am I just what? That you pop culture? You never watched Logan's Run?
Nope.
The Sandman never came for you? You never found Sanctuary?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, they're actually going to remake that at some point. They've tried
too
to
busy
remake
taking
it like
surveys.
Four times. Surveys, but there's so many to take. You could do that on things like a note taker from our good friends Hims. We thank them for their sponsorship of this very program.
Yeah, we got a lot coming up this week. It's kind of a no interview this week, but we're doing a lot of demos and reviews kind of to fill the time. I am going to be talking about how you might connect an old Braille display to your computer or other older devices and what you would need to do to make that happen. I have a Handytech Braille Star from about 2002, but it's still a perfectly good 40-cell Braille display. So I'll explain to you how you might do that. And you have a game, Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a game. You remember when I was knocked off the internets in the middle of a segment a couple of weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
That was due to lightning and thunder in my area. Well, the family sat around and we gathered around the glow of the iPad and we played this game, which helped us kind of pass the time until the power came back on. So I'm going to talk a little bit about multipath audio later in this very podcast. But first, we do have some wonderful news coming up, and it would be the big story. WebAIM released the results of their sixth survey, and to say that some found it controversial would be a veritable understatement for some people on Facebook and on Twitter especially. Did not like the results of the survey.
You know, some people are just never happy, but here's the thing. Okay, so this is a survey of screen reader users, and this time 2,500 people took it over. That's the most, I believe, right? That's ever done the survey by a long shot. And the numbers for Window Eyes and Zoom Text shot way up. JAWS went way down. But there's several things when I'm looking at this survey. First of all, yes, of course, it's a very small minority of users. When they have a question, what do you consider your screen reading proficiency? And only 8% marked beginner. So, I mean, to say that even with 2,500 people, oh yeah, we're getting a vast swath, a good cross-section of screen reader users, it's hard to say that with that particular result, because there's lots of screen reader beginners out there. And of course, if you're a beginner, you're probably not very good at taking a web survey.
Probably not, no. And you know, I don't want to say the words stacking the deck, but the awareness of this survey was very high this year by many companies in the assistive technology industry. And many of these companies turned to their user base and said, hey, get out there and vote for me. And I don't want to say it was like the recent Hugo Awards where there was a bunch of controversy, but there were lots of individuals out there voting for their favorite brand. And
well, you remember, okay, the early days of this here website, and we were just talking about this. The early days, we had a thing every year called the Access Awards. And it was a really cool idea. I thought at the time you voted for things like Best Screen Reader, which was a category. I think JAWS won every year, but won towards the end. And Best New Game and Best Hardware. But it just ended up being, towards the end especially, just a big popularity contest, you know, and I think Apple won 7 out of the 12 categories the last year, because that was, you know, the huge year of the iPhone. They just took over everything, and you started to wonder, okay, how representative is this really of users? Are we really crowning the best of anything, or are we just letting people, you know, what is the most popular of something? And that's why we stopped the Access Awards a couple years back, or a few years back, for those of you who were wondering, because, you know, you had the same problem.
Yeah. It's the same way that we actually sometimes take all the Apple stories in the year-end look at things, and we put it in one big Apple thing. Otherwise, we'd have like 4 or 5 Apple stories in the top 10 of the assistive technology stories. And it's just easier to lump it and kind of go over it as a category. It's not necessarily fair to Apple in that respect, but for other stories, we'd never be able to cover them, and it would be very Apple-centric, and that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to be a kind of an equal footing with all of our AT 2015 yep. and previous stories. Again, any survey, you're going to have the garbage in, garbage out philosophy, and it's only going to be as good as the people that are participating. And before we started recording, I was telling Jay about iMore, which is a very well-known Apple site, had a survey about Apple Watch usage, and lo and behold, it was high. Well, A site about early adopting Apple products has a large number of Apple users that are very positive about the Apple Watch on a site about Apple. Anyway, you get the point. And so you can have these surveys. It's just a shame that in this particular case, it's, you know, the power of marketing. And kudos to those companies who got out there and lobbied their users. And kudos for those people who went out and voted. That was awesome. But it does tend to skew results. And if you took a statistics class in college, you know that statistics can be used to prove just about anything. But
yep. And look, WebAIM is right. Yeah, 2,500 is a lot of people. And I know they've put considerable effort into trying to get the word out. But I don't know. Maybe some of it's in the wording of some of the questions. When I think, you know, I guess Zoom Text technically is a screen reader in a sense, but it's not generally thought of in that sense because reading is not its primary function. Why is Zoom Text on this list and Magic is not?
That would be a very good question because Magic has a component of screen reading itself.
Right.
Magic with speech.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. I mean, you know what? Hey, I guess the other solution is, hey, if you don't really like the results of this survey, create your own survey and see what happens.
Absolutely. I'm not going
to
do that,
but if, you know, somebody wants to, we'll maybe prove on it.
2,500 is a big number. It's about what we had at San Diego earlier this year in 2014 for the big anniversary.
They say 45.
It seems like that might be the target number for attendance in 2016. We shall see, because the call for papers has begun. Therefore, those of you who are very interested in attending or possibly presenting at CSUN, now's the time to start to get out the calendar and marking things off, or booting up Google Now or Siri and save the date.
You have a few weeks till near the end of September to submit your ideas for CSUN, which is 6 months later, so you kind of have to plan ahead of it. So that's always been my issue. But if you're that type and you have something ready to go. Now, as most of these things go, if you don't realize, if your paper is accepted and you get to speak, you still have to pay to speak.
Oh, yes.
A few $100 to speak.
Yes.
So that's always been one of those things. That's just how it is for a conference like this. But we have linked to the form if you want to apply for the general track or the scientific track, if you want to go that way. You can be in San Diego next March and you can speak at CSUN.
And see you in the exhibit hall, which is generally free. And
yeah.
If you don't do anything else, that may be worth it for you to go and hobnob and meet all the companies. But understand that your access to other things are severely restricted. And they have a bunch of sighted people, and they do look at badges there. So it's not like other conventions where you can kind of sort of...
You can fill your day, though. I mean, I know...
Oh, easily.
Last year was the first time I ever paid, and that was billing because we were presenting the session.
Right.
But other than that, I haven't paid for CSUN, you know, as an attendee, and I think that's what I'm going to do again next year. There's a lot of events, you know, once you know the right people to get into them, or even a lot of them are just public.
Agreed.
You just, you know, drop in and you'll be fine.
I saw a movie last CSUN. Oh, no. Wait, two CSUNs ago, I saw a movie at the San Diego AMC, and I had really enjoyed seeing movies in other states that I'm not familiar with, because I don't go in with any kind of preconceived notions of what their theaters are going to be like sound-wise or visual-wise. I would be kind of depressing, though, if I went there and they said they had audio description, and then the audio description isn't kind of working. This link came to me on Twitter from Kathy Blackburn, and it's a link to a petition for more people to put pressure upon Regal and Cinemark to provide the better experience for those who are looking for audio description.
And AMC, and, I guess.
In this article, or on the front page for the petition, is the fact that this one couple went 75 miles out of their way, only to find that the devices were not working or that they weren't even transmitting on the FM signal to be able to enjoy audio description on the theater. But yet it was right there in the advertisement / movie listings that it had audio description.
I'd be curious of people's experiences. Is this a common thing? The survey was put up. Her name is Rachel Holmberg. And looks like there's 1,400 and some signatures already on the change.org petition. The biggest thing that I ever found at the theaters, whenever the times I've done it, is you got to make sure they put it on audio description and not assistive listening, which just gives you the track, but louder. But the times that I've gone, and ever since I explained what I needed, I haven't had a problem. Now, I've only been to 3 different theaters with audio description, so my experiences are limited, and it'd be good to hear from other people. I don't think the survey is the way to go about this. If you want to, if you're so inclined to sign, go for it. I don't think it's going to do a dang thing. If you want to achieve results here, you need to be contacting the theaters and going up the chain a bit and politely expressing your concerns. And
I think working through the local ones, because generally sometimes the local managers can have just as much pressure, if not more so, on national. Cinemark and Regal are not my main theater chains anymore, but I have used their audio description for movies like Skyfall. In fact, I had actually forgotten that the one on 290 in Houston had it when I went and saw X-Men Days of Future Past. And when I was in the restroom, they actually approached my friend and said, "Hey, did he know that there was audio description?" So they were like aware and saw my cane and actually approached him and said, "Could you remind him?"
Because they approached him.
Like people, well, I was in the restroom, so I'm glad they didn't approach me.
Oh, okay, okay. All right.
Fair enough. No. But I've used audio description in a couple of places and had very good results with it. But I also carry my own earbuds because generally the ones that I've run into headphones at these sites generally do not work or have shorts in the wires. And I've met
and who knows who they've been touching.
Well, that too. There's a health issue there. The funniest though, when I first did it for the very first time to get the audio description pack, they asked for my driver's license. So I kind of thought that was funny. They wanted to see some form of ID, and the natural thing was, "Yeah, can I see your driver's license?" "Yeah, sure, absolutely, right here."
Yeah, Alamo Drafthouse has them in their theaters. It's a more limited theater chain, but has been voted the best chain in the country before. They don't provide headphones, at least at the theater here. So you have to bring headphones with you to make it work. I'm fine with that as long as you know that ahead of time.
Yeah, and if you were using anything like let's say there's a program out there, and there is, that allows audio description through your iPhone, you would have to turn it on screen curtain because Alamo is very, very big on you not using any devices whatsoever in the theater. They'll kick you out. Yep. They are serious. They have some very famous PSAs about that.
Whatever happened with that program?
The program for
the iPhone.
I think it exists in Canada. And
This is the one that it'll sync up,
and then it would change to something else.
Yeah, the newer version was one like it would automatically try to sync up. Yeah, they're trying to do it in theaters, and I'll have to see what's going on with that.
Yeah. And I've drawn a blank on what it's called now. But Solo DX is what it used to be.
It's hard to keep track. I mean, stuff going on all over the world. And our survey of the week is back.
Yay, survey of the week.
We have a petition of the week and a survey or a research project this week. The RNIB seeking feedback on rehab services. And if you take one of their little phone surveys, you'll get a $10 shopping voucher. Or I'm sorry, 10 pounds. That's more than $10. I don't know a lot of what this is about. I just know that it is a research project they're conducting to try to figure out, I guess, the effectiveness of rehab services there, what can be improved. So we've linked to that from the RNIB in the UK. Lots of initials there. And you can sign up for that and send them a message. If it's something you're interested in, you might get a nice little shopping voucher that you can buy some crumpets with.
With marshmallow Android Marshmallow. Marshmallows. You could actually be using Marshmallow in the future on various types of Android devices. Question is, I'm not sure if that's going to be able to run on an Android device. That will be coming with a video magnifier. The new Prodigy is going to be coming from Humanware, and it will connect to an Android tablet.
You mean Prodigy?
Prodigy, oh. Yeah, that's the way
Speech says it. It's a Prodigy. I always been.
Well, remember power, the way some Speech used to say that. But the
beauty of marketing. Explain this to me. You're the low vision guy. So this is a 12-inch tablet, which is an Android and a magnifier, or what, how does this differ?
It's kind of going after the same market that eBot already has, in which eBot can connect to an iPad or a Android tablet. And, having an off-the-shelf or at least a good modifiable Android tablet is nice because it cuts costs down, but also gives you some flexibility as far as the screen goes and portability, and you could, charge a little easier. I'll have to play with this device. I'm not completely familiar with how it's working in this particular area. Maybe we'll contact Sam at Humanware and find out a bit more about it. So they
provide the tablet, where the eBot, you get to bring your own, right? I mean, although the pricing is... Well, then the tablet they're providing, they don't say which one. It sounds like it's probably customized, because you press the home button to switch between magnification and Android, it seems.
Which is a little different than the way that Revolution tablet did it a little differently. There was the interview I did back at CSUN with the company that had an HP Android tablet and had things connected that way. And, I imagine somebody eventually will start to use that new Samsung 18-inch tablet, which is rumored.
Gosh.
At what point does it become a table? When do you move from tablet to table? 12 inches, 18 inches, 24 inches?
Yeah, right? And you lose the portable there at 18 inches.
Exactly. We go back to the luggables of portable 18 days inch. Of yore.
Yeah, with our new rolling carry bag.
Exactly.
$2,700 for the Prodigy. The new Prodigy.
You need a little bit more than a tea backpack for that. I guess that would be okay. That seems to be in the target range between $2,200 and $3,900. For those types of tablets. I know I just made a lot of people just cringe, and Joe said, what range? But that does tend to be the price range for those types of tablets in the low vision magnification world. And we'll have to learn a little bit more about this. I wonder if that is getting announced before that big IAAP show in October in Chicago. So we'll There's always interesting things
in Vegas. About that's in Vegas. If it was in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. It's in Vegas. I keep forgetting that.
See, if I went to Vegas, I'd lose all my money. And, last time I went to a thing in Vegas, I ended up gambling things away. And
really? I hear the largest Motel 6 in the United States is in Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lots of lights to keep on.
I found that out when
you.
I was coming back home from Vegas. I stopped in a Motel 6 as I was approaching the Texas border, and the guy goes, where'd you come in from? I said, well, Vegas. He goes, that's the largest Motel 6 in the United States. And I'm like, really? And he goes, 600 rooms. Yeah.
He just rambles off random facts when people come.
Exactly. Well, they leave the light on for you. What can I tell you?
Yep.
There's a new site out there for those of you who are looking to hang out with other gamers, such as those who play WoW or the World of Warcraft. I saw this on Twitter and find it very interesting, and I'm not exactly sure because I haven't had a chance really to sit down and mess with this yet, other than seeing a bunch of people talking about it, and you can sign up for registration. So we put a link here, and for more people,
you see,
to get
who started
involved,
it, right?
Who started it?
The blind shaman, as in.
Oh, yes, Mr. Rick, who was talking about this, about a month ago? I think he was even mentioned it on this very show. And he was a big game player and said that was one of the games that he missed when he lost his vision. So how are they going to do it?
So I guess, have you played this much? Because they're going to use macros and other things to.
I was never a member of the Alliance nor the Horde, but I know of the culture and I know of enough to be able to watch the Guild and watch because I like Felicia Day. And so I know the culture, but I never really got into WoW nor in most of the MMORPGs. I'm more of a JRPG, Japanese role-playing game kind of guy, and a lot of solo adventures. So this things is a, where I'm not yeah, playing with
it's,
other
it's, So it's not a full-on,
players.
It's not like Audio Quake where there was a total accessible layer for the thing, right? I mean,
right.
There's a thing for Quake. There's some accessibility for Second Life if you're into that sort of thing. But this one, so far, it sounds like lot of workarounds and macros and stuff. Well, I'm sure Rick will clarify with a little bit of what's going on and how you might do this.
He might be able to even give us a demo at some point.
Yes, that would be awesome.
And tell if it's running under Windows 10. Aha, Windows 10. That was, if you haven't heard our shows, that was one of the shows that Rick was on. He was also in our AT Trainers special as well. And I mentioned Twitter and that we follow him on Twitter. You could be using the Vast Chicken Nugget to be reading Twitter. Version 3.0 has come out with a mouthful of features, you say, Jay.
I was just looking through. I can't believe there's a... who did this Chicken Nugget song? Have you heard this?
No. Is there one?
There's a Chicken Nugget jingle.
No tweets, no mentions, and no DMs. It's been about an hour, man. I don't know if I can handle this.
Like, wait a minute. For the actual food or for the app?
For the Twitter client.
Oh.
Oh, it was... It looks like it's done by that Rooster Lube guy, Rooster Lube guy. And that's just some weird stuff. Anyway, version 3 of Chicken Nugget, I am using it right now. And lots of cool things here. It started out because you had, you can now do direct messages up to 10,000 characters, which used to be 140. It's a bit of a jump.
Yes, it's kind of like when Facebook allowed a large number of characters and I stopped reading Facebook because people started putting mini novels up there.
But this is just direct messages. I think that's this a good compromise.
I agree.
You know, you can now send a direct message that is 71 times longer. And I think that's fine. I mean, I've definitely used that several times now for sending longer things to people. But you can do that. You can do sound packs now, which the old Twitter had. So you can do that per account. You can play with that now. And, of course, you can create your own if you want. So, Joe's, you can mute users now. That's useful. So next time Joe is just rambling off about Windows, I can just pop him up. Mute.
Or on the Apple event day, you could just ignore my snarkiness on Apple event day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm down. Lots of other cool things. It's a free update, or it's $15 if you haven't done that. It is for Windows, and it is available from Accessible Apps, Chris Toth and company.
A lot of people who are having combination keystroke issues with Windows 10 might also want to move up to that as well.
Oh, yeah. There was some key map stuff going on, I guess, but I'm sure you can work your way around it.
And it's actually been interesting to watch people say that they're either migrating to this or staying with TW Blue or any number of things. I still see a lot of Night Owl conversations for those Mac users out there. And it's interesting. Let us know in the show notes or drop us a comment at feedback to let us know what your way of interacting with Twitter is or your favorite. Or if you have comments about any of the ones we just already mentioned. And you can do that while listening to music in the
Tweet
background
S60.
From TuneIn Radio. Oh,
it's a little too old.
TuneIn Radio has a massive update available and has added more radio stations within it. I guess they're not iHeart radio stations. So they're not those.
Oh, the commercial free. Yeah.
I would imagine. I did see some people say that there's still some issues in iOS or that there's some usability issues in iOS.
How it was more Android.
Yeah. I was about to say, I have not used it that much in Android in a while. Even though I have it installed, but I do agree that the way that you used to be able to access stations was much easier before they started adding all this complexity.
They need to fix some of this because one of the cool things that they've added is unlimited audiobooks. So there's this TuneIn Premium now, so you can pay $7.99 a month with a 30-day trial, and you can get access to some radio stations, MLB baseball games. And 40,000 audiobooks. Actually, a pretty decent selection of them. So, if you're paying for Audible and you're paying for one book at a time, they might not have every book on here, but 40,000 is a pretty good start. Between that and Bard, I think you can find lots of stuff to read. So that could be, what I'm hearing on iOS is, you have to do some touch exploration in some spots to get some of that to work. So they definitely could use some shaping up.
Yeah, for those of you who are flicking clickers or flicking pickers or flicking sticker, for those of you who like to flick more than you like to explore, that's not the future. The future is really exploring on all platforms these days, Windows, Android, what have you, but iOS more and more so. I see that a lot in things like, you know, the new Trivia Crack update is out, and boy, is it broken! Oh my gosh, even more broken on the iPhone than the iPad. But yeah, that was really sad to see as well. They added new functionality where you can collect gems, and none of that's really reading. And it you know, I got a gem. Well, don't know what I could do with it, but hey, there it is. But yeah, it crashes more. And I think, again, that's another one of those where an app gets very popular and then it sees high spikes of users. And then as it starts to taper off because it's no longer the app of the week, it starts to do crazy things to try and drag people back in. Candy Crush is bad about that, too. And, what was working fairly excessively now is a little bit more jazzed up to drag users back in. And it's a mainstream app, so I understand why it's happening. I'm just kind of depressed that it is.
You can go report it on AppleVis.
That's true. And hey, they've got a fancy new blog team coming up. They announced this on their website just recently, and that they have new content coming. It's always good to read the stuff that's coming out at AppleVis. They've also been doing some awesome podcasts as well. So shout out to those guys. That's a big team.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Daryl Shandro, Mike Taylor, Brian Giles, Amrish Salamani, Morgan Watkins, and... Noel?
Sure.
Gallagher. Uh-huh. And people, interesting, all over the world. So that'd be cool.
Kind of taking the cool blind tech approach is the way it looked like.
Yeah, you're right. I'm always down with more opinions and more people covering the news. Most of us are doing other things, so we can't be full-time tech news writers.
It is good to see that people are out there providing that kind of opinion, and there's certainly going to be a lot more Apple stuff to cover if this rumor mill is correct. You know, touch screen on the new iPhone might be a bigger iPad. What someone, Sir Mars on Twitter, called the iPad touch with an HDMI in regards to the new Apple TV that might be coming out next month. We'll learn all that and more very, very, very soon. And I'm sure someone else that's going to be covering that is Miss Shelley Brisbane. She had a really cool announcement, and I don't know that she knew that this was coming, but I was listening to Daily Tech News Show, and Allison Sheridan said, well, you know, I was able to, you know, accommodate to be on the show today, Tom, because I'm going to be working later with Shelley Brisbane on a new show that she's doing called Parallels. And I like almost dropped a coffee cup. I was like, oh my God, I know that lady. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? So Shelley has a new show where she's going to talk about various points of Apple with, as she calls it, accessibility sprinkles. And that is a shout out to Shelley, one of our own regulars here at Blind Bargains. And you might have heard her voice back in July from Dallas and our ACB conference. So, hey, way to go, Shelley, and way to get mentioned on DTNS. Lastly, here in the news, Chris Hofstadter had a wonderful tribute post about two members of our community who have passed on, and Chris was very sincere in what he wrote, and I always enjoy reading some of Chris's exploits, but this one was really good in that Chris talked about Bill Acker and others that he had known over time and that had passed away recently. And a very good post, and we're losing more and more of the people that mattered a lot to us using access or us being able to use the technology that we are now and enjoying it. It's a very good read. I highly recommend that you follow the link here in the show notes or head on over to Chris's blog. I was not familiar with either individuals. I knew of the gentleman from Freedom Scientific that's mentioned here, but I
Joe Simprosa.
I did not know him directly. I'd met him, but I don't think I knew him. And it was really interesting because Chris talks about what it was like on his first move over to St. Petersburg into the interview process at Freedom Scientific. And I actually know which Denny's he's talking about in this article. And again, you know, we lost Jim Kitchen this year, and we've lost a couple other really good people. And in the medical community, they lost Dr. Red Duke in Houston. And also we just, Mr. Sachs, who's a brain individual, and Wes Craven all within this last week, a lot of people that I have been familiar with have passed, which is just kind of crazy.
And it really hits you too. Like, I mean, I know of a couple, I can remember a couple different instances, you know, did a CSUN podcast interview with Torsten from Nuance.
Oh,
and two weeks later, he died of a heart attack. He was very young. He was only in his 40s. And had that, you know, that's happened to me a few times. You end up talking to someone, you have a conversation with them, and next thing you know, they're gone. So I guess, you know, part of it too is, you know, when you have those emails, like, you promise someone you'll do something for them or whatever, and, you know, sometimes like, oh yeah, I'll get to that later. Well, sometimes that might not be the thing. So definitely some well-loved people, and a nice tribute there from Chris.
I was telling Ricky that this year for this year in technology, or this year in AT, it's almost like we need that Oscar montage of those we've lost this year with the moving, you know, music and the tribute and the reading of the names kind of thing. Because good grief, it's been a lot of big name people this year.
It's just going to, it's, I guess as you get older, that happens more and more. But that, you know, the upside of that is that, you know, there are a lot of great people out there. Well, we can, you know, do what we can to remember them and the legacy that they left on AT and beyond.
Absolutely. Coming up later in this particular program, we're going to hear a little bit about a game that'll take your mind off of things. Go out adventuring. Jay has got a demo of his very own talking about legacy technology, and there's a great example right there. We've also got Sound Off, and of course, The Last Word, all coming up here on
Blind Buggins. Auto-tune the Moose.
Yeah, nicely done. Well, you came up with that pretty quickly. All that and more here on Blind Bargains Cast, episode 30.
HIMS wants you to meet EBOT, the first portable reading, writing, near, and distance video magnifier. The advanced and pro models also have optical character recognition. Use EBOT to read a smart board, papers on your desk, or any other printed materials. Connect EBOT through its built-in Wi-Fi network to your iPad or other tablet, your Mac or PC, or plug in any monitor you like. EBOT is lightweight and has ample battery life to get you through your busy day. Find out more about EBOT by calling HIMS at 888-520-4467 or by visiting us at www.hims-inc.com. HIMS, your needs are our solutions.
JJ here, and we're going to talk a little bit about old technology and how to make it new again. So I have here a Handytech BrailleStar 40 Braille display. Now, they've been making these for many years. This is one of the early models, which has a serial port and as well as a USB port, but a really old USB port that only worked with, say, Windows 98 and Millennium and early XP. So that ain't working anymore. So the only way to make this work is using the serial port and a USB to serial adapter. Now, you might have heard of these things before. They let you connect devices that have old serial ports to modern computers with USB, whether it's Windows or Mac. Now, I found one of the best ones out there that's rated. This is a Keyspan TripLite USB to serial adapter, and I'll explain in a minute why I chose this particular one, although there's others that would likely work as well. This thing measures about 4 inches long, and it's about 2 inches wide, and maybe about an inch thick. So it's a very simple adapter. I've seen some of these that are actually a cable. This is just an adapter, and I like it better this way, because then you can use your cables and connect the way that you want to connect. So on one end is a regular USB port that you would use to go from that to your computer. On the other end is a 9-pin male serial port. Now, of course, you know how cables go. You want to make sure that you're matching your correct cable to the correct type of adapter. So this is a male end. So, of course, you need a female cable to go into that, because male goes into female. That's how that works. So I have the proper cables here going from that to my BrailleStar 40, which I'm actually plugging into the serial port on this old legacy Braille display. But I'm running it with modern WindowEyes 9.2. And, of course, I also have it here of NVDA, and I tried it both ways, and it works just fine. So all I do in WindowEyes, for instance, I go down to the settings tree view, go to devices, go to Braille display, and select Handytech BrailleStar 40. And as far as the port, there's no guessing. It's not COM1, COM2, COM26. Just select USB, because that's what it's emulating here. And as soon as you hit activate, voila, you have a Handytech Braille display from 15 years ago almost working just fine here in 2015. So it's what is old is new again. Now, Braille displays, you know, the cheapest one I've seen, you know, a new one that you can get is $1,000 for a 12 cell. Of course, on the classifieds that we have, sometimes there's some good deals. And sometimes you see some older displays on the classifieds or on eBay or other places. But a lot of times they have these older ports, so you need to make them work with modern technology. Don't throw them away. In many cases, you can still make these old Braille displays work. This adapter that I'm mentioning costs about $30. And that's actually on the high end of these things. There are others that are a little bit cheaper. This adapter and the ones that work well use a chipset, which is kind of the hardware inside of the adapter, called PL2303. And if you're going to buy one of these USB to serial adapters, find a well-rated one that has that PL2303 chipset. Those are the ones that work the best. This one has drivers that actually are available on the website for everything from Windows XP through Windows 10 and all various versions of the Mac as well. So you can get the drivers for it and it works just fine. That's one of the things I really liked about this one, is that all the modern drivers were available. And I liked the form factor of this adapter. I've had some cheap ones before and they just didn't work well. But the point is, I have this Braille display from 2000 working with my computer running 64-bit Windows from 2015, and it's running just as if it were a brand new Braille display again. So no need to spend $2,000-$3,000 on a brand new one sometimes. If you can find the right deal and you can verify and figure out that's actually in good condition, you might be able to get Braille at a very affordable price. If you have any comments or questions about this, just post them in the show notes at blindbargains.com.
Blind Bargains needs you. If you wish to submit a product demo, app review, tip, or something else cool, email feedback at blindbargains.com.
I am a big fan of adventure games. Dungeons and Dragons, Fighting Fantasy, some of the things we talked about with Michael Fear a couple months ago. And this app I had read about on Twitter from Martin Corsells, and I thought, ooh, this sounds really interesting. The concept of the choose your own adventure game, where if you do A, this thing will happen, or B, this other thing will happen, is really neat. But even better is the idea that I can go back and replay a story and get a different outcome. And that's the story that I like the best. And I can do that in Multipath, an app for iOS. This app has several stories right now that you can play. They have a trial, so you can actually try a story before you buy. Each story is about $1.99. There's only about four of those at the current time of this recording. And they cover genres like werewolves and vampires and space. And we're going to listen to one that's kind of more of a medieval kind of D&D one. But I also have one that's a time traveler kind of thing. And it's really interesting. The really wild part about this is that I'm only 23% through one particular story. And there are several endings that you can find and locate. The app actually tells you how many endings you've achieved. And you also have several deaths, so you could actually make some mistakes and kind of sort of oops. The app also allows you to go back and replay a chapter or skip the long narration if you just want to get back to the spot that you were, oopsie, I didn't mean to do that. So you can actually not have to sit through the narration over again just to get to that spot that you wanted to get back to in order to make the decision that you should or shouldn't have made. So let's take a little listen here. I'm going to go through the menus a bit.
Multipath audio, books. Multipath audio, books. Interactive audiobooks with multiple paths to explore. Attention, to use voice commands, please enable microphone in your device's settings. Download more stories. Please make sure you are connected to the internet to download new stories or purchase unlimited plays. Advanced options. Button. Multipath audio, books, version 1.1, for copyright signed 2015. Button. Multipath audio, books.
Okay, so interactive there we audio go. Books with multiple paths to explore. We'll get back attention, up to use here commands, to the top, microphone and I'll just more stories. Swipe through these a bit.
Please make sure you are connected to the internet to download new stories or purchase unlimited plays. Advanced options. Button. Multipath audio, books, version 1.1, for copyright signed 2015. Button. Time disaster. 13% of the story explored. Attention.
And that's from commands. Swiping top, left to right.
The purple island glow grobs. 23% of the story explored. Actions available.
Okay, let's go into this right here.
Please confirm welcome. When you are ready to restart. Do you confirm?
Confirm. Button. Confirm.
Yes, Confirm.
You place two silver coins in Begruff's green weathered hand and wish the troll safe travels. Pushing his little wooden ferry into the lake's deep water, he hops in and begins diligently rowing for the mainland. The afternoon sun beats down on the troll's hairless head, and in a shrill voice he shouts, "Tomorrow! Here! Same time! Don't die!" He's starting to wonder if it really was a wise decision traveling to this remote island. You know the stories of monsters and curses. They say Birchie's Island, more commonly known as the Purple Island, was created when a mighty wizard, in the throes of battle with a vicious red dragon, transformed a cloud into a giant white stone. Stone then fell from the sky, crushing the red dragon. You shudder slightly, glancing down at the white stones beneath your feet that comprise the beach. You wonder how many stories are based on some semblance of truth. But hey, you got your sword, sling, some rations, magical flask of water. Plus that half-elf Devon should be here soon. Look around, getting the lay of the land. A few feet beyond the stony beach is a thick forest like none you have ever seen. Tall trees circle the island with branches grown so close together that they create a thick wall of vivid purple leaves. You bend over and pick up a few of these soft purple leaves, glancing at them briefly before hurriedly shoving them in your backpack as a keepsake. Frogs croak, birds chirp. The sun is directly overhead and a cool breeze blows across your cheek. All right, the plan is simple. Get a jar full of glow grubs tonight from the forest and meet back here at noon for a safe trip home. Do you walk or do you stay?
Selected. Menu.
So I can
button.
Flick to these selected. Or Micon. It's button. Voice activated. I can actually selected. Talk and settings. Say walk button. Or stay.
Selected. Pause. Button. Background color. Button. Pay the troll for the boat ride. Repeat. Button. Paths. Button. Endings. Button. Earned. Button. About. Button. Buttons. Button. Blank. Button. 1/9. 6 hyphens. Wins. 6 hyphens. Valve. Walk. Button. Stay. Button.
Oh, stay.
Stay.
You spot a large boulder blank. Nearby. Button. And take a seat. It still feels like you're on the boat. If you didn't know any better, you would think the whole island was bobbing up and down. Patience, it's not exactly your strongest attribute, but it's worth the wait to have a friend nearby. Plus, Devon's magic will definitely come in handy once night falls. You can draw your sword and begin to sharpen it against your whetstone. Such a long journey for a simple thing, glowing worms. It's all back to your Uncle Merv, really. When you were a child on his deathbed, he handed you a roll of parchment and said, "This is important. This will lead you there." You unrolled the ancient document, and it was blank except for a tiny writing in the middle that read, "You are here," with a small X beside it. Originally, you had assumed this was some joke Merv had been planning for years, or maybe a deep philosophical message. That all changed after you recently heard stories about the Viso maps and glow grubs that sailors once used to keep their secrets hidden. Abruptly, your distant thoughts are shattered when a full-sized trout launches itself from the lake, beaching on the shore a few feet from you. A trout erratically flips and flops, gasping, and then shudders and glows with a magical white light and begins to grow. Just when you think the swollen fish is going to explode, its features stretch and shift. It rises up into the air, fins become legs, gills becoming arms, and in short order, a lean, dripping half-elf with long, straight, dusty, blonde hair stands before you. You are thankful that Devon's magic artfully tucked away his clothes somewhere. You always wanted to ask how that worked. "Hey, sir, you ready to get some glubby glub? Let's get in there. Ooh, purple forest, nice." Devon thrusts his hip into the air towards the center of the island. "Let's go, get in. Last one has to eat a glow grub." Do you rush in or do you stop Devon?
Rush in. Button. Rush
Why
in.
Not? Some of your favorite Blank. Stories Button. Are the ones involving this nutty guy who seems to have an unwavering knack for getting out of even the most dire situations. You both take off, sprinting down the stony beach and dive through the bramble. You ignore a couple sharp twangs of pain when thorns from a silvery shrub brush against you. Disheartened, you realize that Devon beat you into the woods. You both decelerate when entering a small green clearing and double over, panting. Devon proclaims, "Yeah! Looks like you're going to be dying on glow grubs tonight." With a glint in his eye, he continues, "Dude, just let me be there when you dump out. I gotta see that." You stand in a 25-foot patch of grassy land. A ring of purple trees and silver shrubs surround you. The only path out seems to be the one that you arrived on. Devin bends, flips over, and spins on his back in the middle of the field, using magic to levitate himself slightly off the ground. As he performs these bizarre spinning dance maneuvers, he chants, "Unz, unz, unz, unz." He finishes his performance and strikes an impressive reclining pose. Do you dance, or do you applaud?
Applaud. Button. Applaud.
As you clap your hands together, blank. You hear button. A colossal applause, as if thousands of people were cheering. Another one of Devin's magical illusions. So tell me again, what's up with these glow grubs? Why do you need them? Devin asks. You go on to explain what they are and how they'll help you read a secret map which your late uncle left to you. Secret map? Dude, count me in for that. Bum da bum 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 bum. He hums a sleuthy tune. You can take some time in this area and look around, or start digging to see if this is a good place to find glow grubs. Do you look around, or do you start digging?
Start digging. Button. Start digging.
Maybe there are glow grubs here. Blank.
Button.
The only thing you know is to look for some stinky yellow moss. Maybe there's moss underneath the grass. It wouldn't be a bad idea to poke around in the soil while there is still light and see what's underneath there. You break out two shovels and get started. Devin focuses most of his efforts, biting his nails while a pair of floating ghostly hands do the work for him. You think, well, that must be nice. But honestly, it feels good to do some manual labor. You kick your shovel down into the soil and the grass caves in and collapses a few inches. The ground, it's hollow. You hear muffled shouts of a lady. What the confounded posturing adventurers? Just then you hear a latch unlock and a small section of grass flips up, revealing an entrance to a cave below. You see a gnome poke her head out of the hole, a stout brown-haired lady with spectacles adorned with seashells and aquatic jewelry. She aims a crossbow in your direction. Just what in the blazes is going on out here? Do you run, or do you attack, or do you
attack?
Apologize?
Button. Apologize. Button. Apologize.
Nudging Devin forward,
blank.
You indicate
button.
With a complex series of glances and eyebrow movements that he should attempt to apologize. Devin bows, thrusting his hand to the sky and proclaims, "I am the dude Devin, and we are totally apologizing right now, at this moment, right here, right now, for the heinous carnage we inflicted upon your epic cave dwelling." He curtly bows and seems pleased with his performance. "My name is Falfi. My husband Gordy is out fishing at the moment, but I can guarantee you he'll have a fit when he sees this," the gnome explains. She's wearing seashell necklaces and a glowing pearl bracelet. Not to mention a rather sturdy crossbow, currently aimed at Devin. Sensing the tension, Devin continues, "I can totally fix this, or rather my magic can fix it. Check it!" He rotates his wrists, and ghost-like hands appear and give the thumbs up. The ghost hands pat the soil, one zipping underneath the ground to push it upwards. "Well," Falfi nods in approval, "I could use a trick like that for cleaning up this place now and again. Would you both like to come in, have some tea while your magic fixes up the damage out here?" Do you have tea, or do you stay?
Have tea. Button. Have tea.
As your eyes adjust,
blank.
Following Falfi, take in your surroundings. The dirt passage opens up into a nice, rounded corridor tall enough to stand comfortably, however a little narrow. The walls are coated with smooth red clay. Every few feet is an inlaid sconce filled with a thick, glowing blue gel, which illuminates the corridor. You also walk past several upward-angled holes in the wall, which you guess may be to aid airflow. Falfi says, Now, you both should know this island is very dangerous, especially at night. Everything tries to hurt or eat you. Well, except for those little bear boys. They're okay in my book. But rocks, plants, birds, everything on this island wants blood. I give my husband daily grief about selecting this place over any other wonderful place we could live. We couldn't live on a nice sandy beach, someplace with a view. He wants a good life for his new family. He never shuts up about how good the fishing is. Who needs the fish when you're dead? Deeper down you go until the corridor opens up into a large living room, complete with couch and fireplace, and an adjoined kitchen. The bathroom is over there if you two have to go. She points to a circular hallway to the east. So, glow grubs. That's it? That is what brings you to this forsaken place? She asks while fetching water. Devin nods. We have lots of those. I'll get you some after the tea. Your eyes light up. Suddenly, there is a bright light from an unseen doorway, and Gordy bursts in. Who the hell are you guys? Falfi calmly responds, Hello, my love. Where's that bag of glow grubs? Gordy whips open a drawer and throws it on the table in front of you. Here, he proclaims. We've got bigger problems. He's back. The one? Yes! Falfi grabs her crossbow and a pack of bolts. I've had enough of that one ravaging our crops. I'll make a brisket of him tonight. The two gnomes rush down the corridor. Do you follow them, or do you stay?
Follow them. Button. Follow them.
Jogging down the dimly lit clay cave, button. Devin shouts ahead, What is it? Just about the nastiest fire gall salamander you ever did see, Gordy replies, coming to a stop. He unlatches the grass door you came through earlier. Climbing up and out of the dwelling, you and Devin exchange shrugs. A giant salamander is one thing, but you've never heard of a fire gall salamander. Gordy reaches to his back and pulls out a small but sturdy hand axe. He nods, and Falthy taps a small green gem on her belt, which flashes with light. To the northeast, you watch two shrubs fade into nothingness, and a secret path is revealed. A long, straight path leads through the silvery brush towards what looks like a sizable crop 100 feet ahead. You smell burning leaves and hear something big moving in the distance. Without much discussion, everyone rushes down the path, readying weapons and working up their adrenaline. Your face is hot, and blood courses through your veins. Picking up speed, you run down the gravel path towards the crops. All you can hear is the wind blowing past your ears. As you break through the opening, you slow and stop. Smoke rises from a few corn stalks, and you turn to face the fire gall salamander who is only a few paces from you, munching on watermelons. Even on all fours, it is still about 9 feet tall and maybe 30 feet long. It has a crazed look in its eyes. You note the heat radiating from its body. Its color is hard to define. It glimmers like a hot log in a fireplace, skin cracked and hard. Embers burn across its body, a mesmerizing mix of oranges, yellows, and reds. You have taken too long to observe the enemy. It spots you and rushes, toothless mouth wide open. You can try to stab your sword into its open mouth. Maybe it's sensitive there. Or you can roll into the tall cornstalks nearby and dodge. Do you roll?
Stab. Or button. Do you stab. Button. Stab. Stab. Roll. Button. Roll. Play. Button.
You roll out of the way just before the creature slams its head down, attempting to swallow you. Planting your feet in the soft farm soil, you spring back into action, stabbing deep into the salamander's neck. Sword stuck in its neck, you hold on as it thrashes around. It's all you can do to hang on. Without your sword, you are weaponless. You take this moment to make a mental note to purchase a second weapon. Not a sling, but something you can bring down a big creature with. Your thoughts are broken as the creature flings you swordless 10, 20, 25 feet, and then back down again. The ground knocks the wind from your lungs as you lay sprawled across a patch of fresh basil leaves. If you didn't have the wind knocked from you, you imagine the aroma would be quite pleasant. Devin blasts at the fire gall's leg, turning it to ice, and the gnome's axe is quick to come down on the frozen appendage. It shatters, toppling the great beast as Falfi walks toward it carefully, releasing a crossbow bolt right into its eye. The fire beast slumps to the ground, and its skin turns dark gray. Falfi and Gordy take inventory of what was destroyed in the attack. Could have been worse, Falfi says. Now we insist that you stay for the night, as Devin unpacks his sleeping supplies. From his backpack, he pulls out a pillow and a brush for his teeth. Cool, thanks, Devin says. Got anything to drink? Apparently, that was the correct question, as Falfi and Gordy retrieve several bottles of golden wine. The rest of the night is spent drinking by the fireplace, eating large chunks of sautéed salamander and roasted corn. The four of you trade tales until the couple retires. You wake the next morning to the wonderful smell of brisket. Thanking the couple, you walk to the shore where the troll is waiting to take you across the lake. Your bags are heavy. They wouldn't let you leave without taking more food to go. Boarding the boat, you watch the purple island shrink away, and your thoughts wander to your uncle's map and what adventures are still yet to be revealed. Congratulations, and thank you for playing this multipath audio adventure. We hope you have enjoyed the experience. Remember, this is just one of many ways to win. Perhaps you would like to try again. Please confirm when you are ready to restart. Do you confirm?
And that was an adventure, wasn't it? There are different types of narration, and the narrator on the space one is not the voice that's heard here, so you do have some variety. I haven't actually played the other two yet. I'm kind of saving those for maybe another power outage while we're recording, as was the case when I listened to this first, and I had to do something while waiting for the power to come back on at 3 in the morning. And this actually kept us very busy. This one and the space one, the time dilation thingy one, was something that we played for a good long time to kill some time. But it's great. You can download these onto the device. You can play them without having to be connected to the internet. You do need the internet to be able to get these. They're fairly small. They don't take up a lot of room on your device. And about $1.99, but you can try before you buy, which is great. And as you heard, you can change the background color. By default, it's white text on a black background, and the buttons show up fairly well. So that is Multipath Audio on iOS. I thought it was a neat time waster, and in the same vein as, say, Codename Cygnus, but that's a little bit more of a radio drama that's interactive. Hey, we may have to visit that one, too, at some point.
Here's a tip. You may have heard there's a bit of an Apple event going on September 9th. Well, what exactly is going to happen at said Apple event? Well, Siri, the all-knowing, may have some advice for us. By asking it, give me a hint. Give me a hint.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I am not authorized either to confirm or deny that I cannot disclose anything that you would then have to confirm. In any case, I would deny it. Got it.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes things a lot clearer. You can keep asking Siri over and over, and you'll get some different responses. By the way, I tried asking Google, and it didn't give me any hints. Go figure. Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
A few weeks ago, we had talked about having comments in the comments section. I know it's a unique possibility and a probability that that happens, but in this particular case, we were asking you to put comments in order to be considered for a possible one-year membership to the Jet service. And we have two winners from that particular episode. Who might they be, sir?
Yes. I went to the wonderful random.org website and drew out of all the many, many, many almost dozen entries that we had. And we picked Louis D. And I believe that's supposed to, is that supposed to be Mickey C, but they spell it as M-C-I-K-E-Y.
M-O-U-S-E.
Probably on purpose. C.
Sure.
Mikaiki C. Anyway, both of you have won a Jet membership for a year. So we'll be sending you information shortly, and we will just email you those codes, and you can be on your way. And check out more about Jet. We did a review of that on Blind Bargains a bit ago, and we'll link back to that on the show notes in case you missed that. What else do we have? This is Sound Off, and
yeah, we got some emails, long emails, in fact. But the first one, Jan Brown sent in an email where she reviewed a certain product. She ordered the 6-dot labeler, and that was a very popular segment from our CSUN interviews. And she talked about what she thinks about it and what she had felt as a gadget freak she needed and what she didn't need. So thank you, Jan, for that. The full review is available in the show notes under Sound Off. The next email is from Ken, and he actually addresses both of us in different paragraphs. There's a lot of content here. Good night. Ken, you are prolific, sir. I appreciate that. He had talked a little bit about my feelings about Windows and menus and UI. I believe I was passing along a general comment. I don't think I feel one way or the other. I use the ribbons, but I know how some really do like the old 2003 menu style. There's also a lot of comments here about Cache Manager, what he's used, and what he thought was really good. He also had a very pointed comment towards Kelly Ford and the Intuit saga that we had mentioned in a previous episode. So thank you, Ken, for this very lengthy and very informative email. Lots of links and lots of stuff in the show
notes.
You know
what? I want to respond to Cache Manager a bit. So Ken was kind of, we were talking about using QuickBooks and some of the other Intuit products, and I think Ken was coming back and saying, well, you know, why are we forgetting about things like Cache Manager? They're perfectly serviceable programs. And, you know, I looked at Cache Manager. There was a time, I'm not sure if they still are, but Triumph Technology was definitely pushing them here in the US. the big thing it was missing for me, it did not have any integration with banks in the US. And that's a deal breaker. The whole thing about accounting is you want to automate your transactions. And if I can't automatically pull in information from my financial institutions, that doesn't really save me any time. So I did give it a look, and that was my finding. Now, that might not be something you needed, but I, you know, to be fair, I did definitely try out that program.
I don't have any reason to do anything crazily financial these days. So Ken, I'll just go with what you have to say at the moment, because that is not something that I generally play around with as much as I used to. You know, back in my day, I actually had to learn Peachtree and other stuff for consumers who were getting into accounting at the Division for Blind Services. So,
all right, you convinced one of us.
It has been a long time since I've had to look at anything involving numbers. For, as I have said on many a podcast, I suck at math.
You look at listener numbers now. That's the numbers.
That is a cool. No, those statistics I can do. Yes. Formulating synergistic pillars of path of enlightenment through numbers to synergistic goals. Yeah, I did that marketing, all that. No, that's all.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Like the way I did that. Now, with that understood, I have an idea here that I could actually use a service to help me with my math. Maybe would this service help me with my math?
I don't know. I haven't tried it. Magic. Really? It's magical.
It's magic?
I don't know. So magic says they'll do anything by text if it's legal. Huh. I don't know what that... It seems like a lot of it's like getting things delivered or... I don't know. Solving all sorts of problems. I really don't know. So we're looking for ideas. We have access to magic now. And we're looking for your ideas of what should we use magic for. We can text them and have them do something for us or perhaps one of you. So we have a post on the website on Blind Bargains. We link to that. And we're looking for your ideas, and we will perhaps choose one or two of those and try it out, and then we'll report back, and we'll see what happened, and if it really is magic or if it's just a hoax. So let us know what you think, and give us your magical ideas.
Have you used Postmates yet? You know, there's a lot of the Grubhub, E24, and Postmates seems to be a new one that's starting to pop
right,
up a little bit
delivering stuff, right?
Yeah.
I guess the idea with magic is you pay a little more and you don't have to think about what service you might use. If you're in, say, San Francisco, there's a million of these things now.
I mean, there are so many. I agree.
And that's not an exaggeration almost.
Yeah. There's really a are. New pop-up around every corner, particularly
so,
out there.
So
TaskRabbit, TaskEasy,
like,
all of those.
You just say, I need you to bring me X, and they'll figure out what might be the way to get to you. So... I don't know, but I think it's more than just delivery. So maybe there's some accessibility stuff even. I don't know. So we'll try it out.
Was it even Uber was starting to do food delivery and the like? We talked about that last week with Tim. And so, yeah, there is a lot of stuff starting to happen in that particular shared economy. It is going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. Hey, you know, shared, you said you had a tweet. We have a tweet.
I had one.
Okay.
One. I mean, we got a few, but not a lot. By the way, thank you, Twitter, for your help to our talk earlier on Braille displays. And had asked an esoteric question about the old Braille Star, and a couple of you came through right away with an answer. So thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. We posted a Dyson multi-floor bagless animal canister vacuum on Blind Bargains a little while ago. Alex Jurgensen. He was wondering if the canister is made out of an animal or if the vacuum can if it can actually vacuum up animals.
Of animals. I saw that one. That was funny.
The latter might be useful. The former is just cruel.
It's so true. That was good.
I'm going to assume the latter. I have not bought.
they have called their vacuum cleaner strange things. So animal is kind of a name brandish kind of thing, I think, for Dyson, if I remember correctly. But now I'm just thinking of this really horrible Dr. Seuss contraption that goes around sucking up animals. So there's that.
The hat and the cat in the hat never comes back.
Yes. Sneeches with leeches and breeches. Never mind. I'm gonna stop there.
Okay. What do you got? Last word.
Yeah, that's good. It might have been if I kept going. The first one is from the doggone it. Why didn't I think of that department? How would you like in a rainstorm to have the ability to remain dry, but also still have access to your cell phone without having to take up so many appendages? introducing the Phonebrella.
Oh.
This is a good idea. I can see this.
What is it? Is it a phone holster?
Yeah, it's like a holder. It's like a gigantic holster, and you put your phone in there, and then you could still access your phone and, you know, walk with an umbrella and still keep yourself dry until you, you know, walk into that fountain because you weren't looking because you were texting and walking with an umbrella. But that's still a thing. I still see that on YouTube. People still walk into things, which is, from a visually impaired standpoint, when you do that not completely by accident. It's nice to see sighted people do those things. Anyway, the Phonebrella is available and is one of those, again, one of those proof of concepts that, well, you know, I wonder if this actually started out as a Kickstarter. This might actually tick all the boxes for our show this week because we haven't had a Kickstarter. We've had the survey.
True.
And
we, had we missed the crowdfunding of the week, right?
Yeah, we didn't have one of those or the outsourcing. That's a shame.
You buy one of those and you let me know how that goes.
You know, there are some grammar police out there. I used to work with a couple of them. Their names are Lisa and Ricky. And they're very quick to, when we were writing PR, to edit those of us who might have been grammarly challenged, although Buddy was not one of them. But Jamie and I at times.
Yeah, because grammarly challenged is a proper phrase.
The way the Oxford Dictionary is going these days, give it time. And this is a video, and it talks about the proper use of the semicolon. And I'd actually tweeted one of these out a couple of weeks ago, and it was how to use dash. And this librarian gets up there and talks about the right way to use punctuation. And this thing just blew up on the internet. And
the semicolon?
Yeah. What is the proper way of using?
Are we using it wrong? I use it in our headlines a lot because I figure, isn't that
supposed to be a way to... You're going to have to watch this video and actually...
Isn't the semicolon like to, if you have two similarly related thoughts, but you don't want to make two, you know?
Correct. But even more so, there's the history of the semicolon, which she also talks about on this particular video. And for those of you who are of the grammar police persuasion, you might want to take a listen to this and all the other videos in this particular series. I learned a lot about
sentence phrasing. Does she do one for each punctuation?
No, but I want her to start doing the Victor Borge, you know, punctuation marks and psh, you know, those were good.
All right. Yeah.
Remember those? Yeah. Okay. As funny sounding as that is, it is nowhere near as scary as the sounds you're about to hear right now. Yes, those are auto-tuned cows.
Auto-tune the moose? Oh yeah, that's what used to be.
Yeah, that's the title already. Auto-tune the moose.
Now you said, so this video actually got taken down first time?
For a bit. Somebody filed a DMCA on it, and so it was down for a while and got put back up. And I can only assume it was most of the popular singing world which uses that. Probably the Black Eyed Peas, Kanye.
I mean, who do you want to put there? Did Kanye or something think it sounded too much like him?
Absolutely. So they got up there and just totally,
he was worried about his presidential campaign in 2020.
Correct. So he wanted to get out ahead of that thing and do the takedowns immediately. So that was before.
Or maybe it was, it could have been the Elvis from What Does the Fox Say? Maybe that's where it was.
When was the last time you listened to that song?
When I requested it at a bar, using Touch Tunes, the jukebox app.
Please tell me there's a karaoke version of that.
Oh, sure. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh man, this is awesome. So auto-tune the booze, listen in the background. Sometimes you used to play noises to make your dog bark, you know, like you play another dog on TV and your dog might bark. I wonder if you played auto-tuned cows to cows, if they would move back at cow. That's interesting.
Maybe. I think you should, you're getting ready for the Apple event and BBQ31. And next week's show, you make that your ringtone.
I'll get right on that.
Some auto-tuned cows.
No. Currently, my ringtone is the 12th Doctor's theme because, you know, Jay, we're only a few weeks away from Series 9. Just as a reminder.
You just handed that in, didn't you?
Yeah. It's a drinking game thing. What can I tell you? There are some out there who actually do count our uhs and ums, and they have told me so offline, which is kind of depressing.
I'm sorry, you're pretty messed up now. Those of you
who are actually looking for the Doctor Who mention of the week. Yeah. Uh-huh. Agreed. So you can follow me on Twitter and listen to a bunch more video games music, although I've been playing a lot of crazy covers lately, finding all sorts of covers by popular bands.
I'm going to leave every and in this week.
Okay.
Usually you just string them together and it just becomes one long thing. Then it's like, you know, something to meditate by. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word. And you can definitely prepare yourselves for the snark that comes with every Apple event. I am known for this. I always know when I have new Twitter followers because they're like, you can't be serious. Oh yes, I won't be on Apple event days. Actually, I'm very fair. I do it to Microsoft too, especially during E3 and Samsung. I didn't do the Unpacked event this year, but it was like airing at some weird time, so I couldn't actually sit there and make snarky comments about Samsung devices. But generally, I do.
You can follow me at Blind Bargains. We're behind the Blind Bargains Twitter. And thanks to new followers, including Blinds Galore, who I think misunderstood what we are. But thanks to everyone else who's followed the Blind Bargains Twitter. Of course, you can email feedback at blindbargains.com. And over at ATGuys and ATGuys.com, we're still doing more clearance stuff. So follow the Twitter especially, and you can kind of see some of the things as we clean out the office and find more discounted bargain basement price merchandise. That's must go. Everything must go. So
Before the holidays, also thanks to our wonderful sponsors, HIMS.
Your needs are our solutions.
HIMS. I wondered if he remembered. Ha ha, there you go.
Absolutely.
And also thank you to you, dear listener, who listen very often and let us know through your various letters and emails and tweetings and mentions on Facebook and passing around the information to everyone that you know, especially the Windows 10 show, which has been very, very popular. And the only reason why it's been so popular is that it sounds better than we actually can make it sound here live because of the wonderful efforts of that man you heard a moment ago, Mr. Patrick Perdue.
No words.
So with that, Jay and I are going to go off and start talking about fantasy football more than likely and how it's wrecking the NFL. And we'll just not key in on that because not everybody's an NFL fan. And we will talk to you very, very soon. Well, next time after the Apple event. Take care, everybody.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.